power, hour. It's the one. Power, hour. It's the who. Power, hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, hour. It's the one. Power, hour. It's the who. Power, hour.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crossed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power, it's the one. Power, power, it's the who. Power, power, yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
We good? Hey, shalom, Most High in Christ, bless. Welcome to the Power Hour in the Wednesday night edition, where we discuss Native, Latin, and Black biblical topics. I am Captain Amariah, and joining me today,
Officer Shire
of the mighty tribe of Judah.
Dang,
Issachar.
By the way of Gad, maybe.
Put some respect on the burro, bro. Let's do it.
All right.
So, back again. All right. All praise the Most High in Christ for allowing us another week to be here to bring out His Word as it is written.
Tribe of Issachar? Yes, sir.
Tribe of speckled bird, I guess.
Everybody hates on you, bro.
Yeah, I get hated on, bro.
Bro,
do you not see the hairline?
Hey, in the world...
Do you not see the hairline?
In the world, you'd be hated because you're black, but in the truth, you're hated because you're light-skinned.
Mm.
I've come to that conclusion.
Savvy.
They're always hitting...
For the deep. See that?
Bro, they're always hating on Captain Yasha, bro. Like, he has no leeway. But you too... And Captain Aparium on YouTube.
It happens. So because of that, Lord's will be starting another Power Hour, Lord's Will, Sundays as well. Right? Because you know what? I'm not Northern Kingdom, but I look the part.
You do?
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
All right.
So you know what? But Captain Yahshua and Captain Aparium are from the tribe of Ephraim. So
that's right.
Mighty men of the Lord that know this truth, know this word, and they push it in sincerity and truth. So, got to get those faces out there, man. That way we can get this hate out of Israel's hearts.
Mm.
All right. So, as you see, the topic is endure until the end. All right. That's what we're here to talk about. Like how our producer had put into the thing, it's the deep basics. You're not going to come on here and get any, you know, four horsemen. You're not going to get any 12 feathers.
Bring it out.
If you've been here for like a year, you have already gotten those lessons, actually.
Those
have actually come out, right?
Right.
And when you hear it, it's like, oh, it's not as deep as I was thinking it was.
Yeah.
You know what? It used to be people would text me, literally text me and say, hey, you got any meat? You got anything? Listen, this is my ninth year in this truth, and never at any point in this truth was I ever pulled into a room and sat down and told, okay, here's this breakdown, here's that breakdown. Everything that I learn is the same way that you learn.
Mm.
It's the same way that you learn. It's the same way that we all learn.
Right.
Through studying and application.
Mm-hmm.
There's many things that have gone on in class and they just went, shh.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the bishop always says, hey, if you catch it, you catch it. If not, Lord's will, you'll get it next year.
Right.
There's been many of next year's for me since I've been in this church.
That's true, yeah.
I watched it and I was like, damn, that thing was heavy.
Right.
But endure to the end. Let me get 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We will start there. Because this walk is just that. It's not a sprint, but it's a marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you come into this, okay, I'm Israel, check.
Right.
Curses, I fit them, check.
Right.
We good, baby. We a kingdom ready.
Right.
Nah, hell no. Hell no, you ain't kingdom ready. through much tribulation will you get the kingdom of God. All right? We have to go through things. We have to be purged from this evil, sinful nation that we've been a part of for so long. We have to be found worthy. But let's start with that real quick.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith.
We must examine ourselves whether we be walking according to what this Bible says. It's not according to thus said Captain Amariah or thus said Officer Ashaya. It's not thus said Bishop or Deacon or whoever. It's thus saith the Lord. You have to make sure that you're walking according to this.
Right.
And our typical thing is an emotional response. Oh, love, love.
So the friend just checked. That's it. I'm good.
That's the simplicity that we have in Christ Jesus, though, is the mere fact that he tells us what to eat.
Right.
How to dress. What days to keep. How to speak. How to speak to each other. How to conduct ourselves toward each other.
With each other, yep.
How to conduct ourselves as husbands and wives and brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the simplicity that we have in Christ. You don't even have to think for yourself.
Right.
You have to just do. That's it. Mm. But that's where we fall short. That's why we must always examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Read on.
Prove your own selves.
We must prove our own selves because, hey, listen, as much as I have an affinity for you, Officer Shia, you can't climb up on my back and I walk you to the kingdom.
Right.
If I had to choose you or me, I'm going to seek my own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
Right. That's how we should all operate. But read on.
Know ye not your own selves?
Because you should know your shortcomings. You should know where you fall short and where you need to be built up. You should know, listen, I battle with lust. And lust doesn't just mean sexual lust. Right.
Right. Right.
Lust can be, like for me, for instance, right? When I first came to this truth, not having hot food. What? What? I can't have hot food from Friday dark to Saturday dark? And as ignorant and as dumb that as that may sound, that thing was like a real hang-up for me, bro. Anyone that knows me, if my wife is online, she could put preach. She knows, hey, listen, bring me my food hot.
Mm.
Bro, I'm that dude that goes to the drive-thru and I eat my food on the way home because I can't wait till I get home because it's going to be cold by then.
That's true.
Like, I'm that guy.
That's very true. That's
so, having hot food, that was a lust for me.
Mm.
But I had to let go of that.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
Now, you know what I'm saying? Cold chicken wraps ain't too bad, right? Cold pizza's pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I
never ate cold pizza in the world? Nah.
It's not that I didn't.
It's a common thing to do.
It's not that I didn't. It was just, I like my food hot.
That's true.
But because I like cold pizza, you know, I order a pizza for dinner Friday night. And then
Seventh morning,
there it is, cold pizza. We're in there. Yeah. Right? But read on.
Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates.
Except ye be reprobates. Meaning you become unprofitable to this truth now. Because you didn't endure until the end. You didn't do the things that the Lord had commanded us to do, right? Again, it's the simplicity that we have in Christ Jesus, right? He tells you what to do
mm-hmm.
and what not to do. But we as a people, we've been so programmed and dumbed down in society and in this captivity that we let the different amenities and liberties that our oppressor has given us to completely destroy us. Give me Ecclesiastes 7, verse 7. That's biblical.
I just wanted to point out real quick, Kev. I just realized that, you know, like a lot of brothers be like, hey, what's, give me some meat, like you were saying, right? You got any meat for me? This scripture is like Psalms 111 and 10 is that deep.
You know what? Actually, we'll get that next because that was the scripture that I would give to everybody when they would say, hey, you got some meat?
Yeah, I do actually.
This is like, that one is 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 is like, Psalms 111 and 10, where it's like you're like constantly examining yourself. All right, work on that.
See, you deep, bro. Read that.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 7. Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad.
Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad. People will say, man, you guys are so angry.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you yell? Why is this? Why is that? Listen, 10 out of 10 Christians. They may read the Bible, but they don't understand the Bible.
Oh, no.
Right? So we sigh and we cry for the abominations of our people.
Right.
And listen, this is this battle ain't built for the weak. It's not.
Mm.
It's not. That's why it says not many rich men. He's using the base people. Listen, we ain't got nothing to lose.
Right.
I know this ain't my rest.
Right.
I know this is – listen, Esau's paying me X amount of dollars a week to go provide a service for him. This shit ain't my rest.
Right,
right. Are you kidding me? But you put millions upon millions on top of that thing. Now it's, oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
I didn't mean to be anti-Semitism. Mm. It's crazy. It's crazy. But read again. Surely oppression makes a wise man mad. Read.
Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad.
Because we're pissed off because we're being oppressed here. We're being told, listen, you can be a man, even if you're a woman, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You can love little boys and little girls and everything else. You can identify as whatever you want. But you can't identify with being the chosen people of God because that's anti-Semitic. That thing pisses us off.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
And a gift destroyeth the heart.
And a gift destroys the heart. A gift destroys the mind, because when you read in Mark 7, verse 21, the heart is the mind. A gift destroys the mind. It doesn't have to be this tangible gift that says, hey, here you go.
Right. Sorry,
that's for you. The gift can come as a form of a good job, a nice car, a nice house, and then it's like, we're talking about oppressed.
Right.
Do you not see these fine vines that I'm wearing?
Mm.
This fine linen, right?
Right.
We remember the garlic and the leeks and the onions that we ate freely in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Even though when you read in, what is that, Judith 5, where it says that even the other nations know, oh yeah, those are them that were slaves in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But you read Numbers 12, they'll tell you, nah, you brought us here to die? Man, we was eating good out there, man.
Right.
Hold on, fam. Moses, really? Really?
Right.
But these are the things that happen to us because we become destroyed, right? We just watched The Matrix for movie night, right?
Oh, my goodness.
That one part where he said, until they become unplugged, everybody is our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was heavy.
Man.
Because that's what it is. That's why, give me Romans 9 real quick. The book of Romanos.
Romanos.
Capitulo,
see, now they're
9, versículo, right, huh? See, we knew it.
He who are Spaniard. They're going to say that, bro. I can see it in the comments already.
He's Spaniard. Wait, Romans 9, and it started verse 7.
7?
Yep.
The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
You know, sorry, verse 6. Sorry.
Verse 6.
I was shooting from the hip.
Okay.
I hit the target. It wasn't a clean kill shot.
Okay.
Sorry, verse 6.
Verse 6. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
They were not all Israel, which are of Israel, meaning you can't be so confident and rest assured that, you know what, I'm getting the kingdom because I'm an Israelite. But you're not applying no laws. You're not applying nothing that the Bible tells you to do.
Right.
You're not going to get the kingdom just because you're of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because there is stipulations that the Lord had put in place and said, listen, keep the commandments in the faith of Christ.
Right.
So that means that 2/3 of our people have to die because that was prophesied, right?
Right.
It says we're not all Israel. Who are of Israel? Read.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Read on.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but are counted, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
So now, the children of the flesh go into the other nations, right? But that same judgment that they're going to get is the same judgment that 2/3 of our people are going to get. Actually, listen, when you really think about it,
right?
When you really think about it, Esau has a harsh, harsh, harsh punishment coming, right? Which he should, because that was his allotment, right? It's not for me to say, oh, no, but God loves everybody. Listen,
right.
I just thank the Lord that I was able to wake up today, stand in my living room before I left the work, have my hands towards the east, and thank God that I'm an Israelite. Have mercy upon me for the sins that I committed, and let me get through this day, right? Esau is going to serve 1,000 years of harsh bondage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then be completely eradicated.
Wiped out.
Right. 2/3 of Israel is going to join him in that lake of fire.
Mm.
But at least Esau at least gets to see the kingdom.
Damn.
I mean, he's going to build it.
Right. They can bring their
forces. But those 2/3 of Israel, they're going to just be, because they're going to die.
Yeah.
Lay at rest and then die all over again for forever. But at least Esau is going to see it.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, man, look what we built. This is real nice.
Mm.
It's kind of like our people here. Like, damn, this is nice. We want to be a part of this. Give us equal rights. Give us liberties and things like that here. Hell no. That's not going to happen for Esau, though. Build it, and then you got to go.
Right.
All right. But our people, we can't see a world without Esau.
What?
But they're the pinnacle, right?
Right.
Give me Matthew 24, verse 13. All right? Because, again, the topic is endure until the end. Because there's going to come tribulations and trials, and there's going to come things that come at you as an individual. Lord's will, you find that spouse, that husband or that wife. You're going to have your marriage problems. So those things are going to come. Those things are going to tempt you to leave this truth. Things within the congregation are going to tempt you to leave this truth. There's many levels of these things. That's why you have to endure. You have to endure all those things. You come in thinking, oh, yeah, I'm good. Oh, slave ships and Christ is black. I'm good.
Yeah.
But no, it's different when you come in and you start being around other spirits too. Right? And you're like, damn, I don't like this brother.
Right.
Right.
I don't like this sister.
You don't have to like that individual. Not everyone's spirit's going to mesh and you be best friends and now you're eating freaking Portillo's after the Sabbath every single Saturday night. This truth is not like that. But we are supposed to love each other like we love ourselves.
Right.
As much as I don't like certain people, I'm still going to be that first person that they can call if they need any help.
Mm.
But I'm also very open and honest about not liking that individual as well. But anyways, so it's going to come in different forms. Temptations will come in different levels and everything goes. And it's going to come in the form of a spouse or a child or at your job or whatever the case may be. There's many things that Satan uses to pull you by the shoestrings and get you to fall back into the world. Because that's his job. It tells you that in the book of Psalms.
Right.
His job is to blot you out of the book of the life. Right? Read that.
The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved.
But he, and we know that the Bible is written in a masculine form. So when it says he, it's meaning she. All right? He and she that endure unto the end, what?
The same shall be saved.
When you read the definition for endure, it simply means to just overcome, right? To get over the obstacles, right? To not die, basically, is like what it's saying. Because I've had people ignorantly say to me, oh, well, that's going to happen long after I'm dead.
Mm.
Not knowing that there's a second death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fear needs to come in, right? That's why it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, because you cannot fear God and know precepts.
Right.
It's called the Christian church, just in case anyone was wondering. It's called the Christian church.
Mm.
You can have knowledge of God, right?
Right.
That the scripture says that. They have a zeal, but not according to God.
Right.
Right. You can know precepts, and you can think you know what John 3:16 means all day until you're blue in the face.
Right.
And you can think that you're enduring. Someone that's in the Christian church will use the word endure, love, patience, charity,
righteous,
faith, righteousness,
sin,
all these things in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit down and smoke a Newport after they just ate a pulled pork sandwich.
We see that all the time when we go preach. Hey, bro, let me give you flyers. Our history in the Bible. No, Christ said. And they start quoting all the gospels and all the scriptures, but they're gone. The zombies. They look like zombies.
They want to hear smooth things.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's what it is. You know what? Other than that, I can't stand when people say, oh, yeah. I know that.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, really? Well, who told you that? Was it that Newport 100 that you're about to put in your mouth and freaking defile your temple with?
Right.
The hell are you talking about, bro? You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the things happening in the earth, and we're like, oh, my goodness, bro. Like, listen, you don't understand. Put the Newport down.
Yeah.
Take this flyer and read it. Or the people that say, no, I'm good. No, you're not good, bro. Listen, what is the harm of just taking the flyer and just reading it?
Right.
Of just being open to some information that you may not know.
Mm.
Like, you got that much pride on you that you can't even just take a flyer?
Right.
Really?
Mm-mm-mm.
Or they'll do this when they look at it. No, I'm good.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. But read it again.
Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved.
So that brother and that sister that endures their trials and their tribulations and all these things that this society and this world has set up against them, those are the ones that are going to be saved, receive salvation. Because it's the 12 tribes of Israel that need that salvation.
Mm.
Right? What does Esau need salvation from? His Fortune 500 companies that he owns? All the laws he's able to pass in the four corners of the earth?
Right.
Hell no. He don't need salvation from those things.
Right.
We need salvation from the oppression that we get from our people. Them having their knees on our necks while we yell for 8 minutes that we can't breathe.
Mm.
We're the ones that need salvation. Right?
Even from our own mental state. Like, we're so destroyed. Even those that are, like, sane of us, right? We're so destroyed mentally that, man.
That's the thing, though, because you said even those that are sane of us, but they're not sane. That's the thing. They're insane. And they'll tell you, hey, you're brainwashed. No, you need to be brainwashed from all these things that you've learned in captivity, because the same person that raped your women, that raped your men, that beat you, that mutilated you, how do you think they know about open heart surgery and brain surgery and abortions?
Right.
If they didn't use our people as the guinea pigs to conduct these things.
Right.
And that's just a small thing that happened to us in captivity. I mean, there's all these pictures and articles and atrocities that you can look up of what they did to us as a people. All those things happen to us. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to God, they're going to tell you the truth about God and that God loves you.
Mm-mm-mm.
Hell no, it don't work like that.
Mm-mm.
It's a simple question. You ask somebody that has that mentality, right? You ask them, is God a just God?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sir.
Oh, yeah. God's just. God's just.
Of
okay.
Course. But of course, my brother.
So then you read them Isaiah 14:21, right?
No.
No, see, brother, you're taking that out of context. That's not what that means. That's absolutely what it means.
Right.
10 times out of 10, that's what it means.
Mm-mm.
Because the things that were done to us, God said, listen, those things must be done to him.
Mm.
Double.
Repay him double, yo.
Double what he did to you. That's something that, in my corner of mind, I can't even begin to fathom.
Mm.
As much as I glory in it, but that's because I know that the Lord's behind that thing. It doesn't mean I'm going to take up arms right now and go fight against this man. No. Our warfare is now spiritual.
Right.
And it's us having these type of platforms, bringing forth scriptures, teaching our people the laws and tell them, listen, you must endure until the end.
Right.
That way you can have the satisfaction of these things, right?
Can I bring something up, Kevin?
Yeah, go ahead.
That spiritual warfare, I want to hit on that real quick, because not only is it a spiritual warfare against principalities, higher powers, right? But it's also a spiritual warfare against us. Second Ezra 14 and 13.
In Ezra chapter 14, verse 13. Now therefore set thine house in order and reprove thy people. Comfort such as be in trouble, and now renounce corruption.
So that spiritual warfare starts with us. We can't go out and preach. We can't go out and start saying, oh, we're in captivity, X, Y, and Z, because, the white man's the devil, like you see all these camps. It starts with us setting our houses in order, setting ourselves right, getting our houses in order, then reprove our people. So this is a checklist that we must do in 2 Ezra 14 and 13.
And you know what? This is actually a really heavy scripture because this goes into the importance of having that actual family structure, right? Of having the wife in subjection to the man. Again, listen, we've been so dumbed down. I hate to say it. Hey, for any sisters that may be listening, right? It's going to be a lot of that two-thirds is coming out of Babylon the Great.
Mm.
And a lot of that two-thirds is going to be sisters because they've been so programmed and destroyed with Babylon that they can't fathom what it means to be in subjection to a man,
mm.
right? But we always say, listen, you can't build a kingdom of just men.
Just
it's
men.
Impossible. Right. The women have a role. Listen, the women have such a role that the scripture says that they will be our pillars of rest.
Right.
A pillar is what holds up something. It's that support system.
Right.
We can't operate and function as an army of God if we don't have our support back in the rear to be able to guide and move and maneuver the way that they're supposed to do those things.
The basic things like you guys were bringing out on the Sabbath day, the food, the clothes, the small things like y'all were bringing up with the brown berets.
The small things that they take as servitude, right? However, the scripture just said that it says, blessed is he that endure to the end, right? Sisters, if you endure into the end, the Bible says that you'll be built like palaces, right? When you read in the book of Psalms, it tells you the women will be built like palaces. Have you ever been into a palace?
Hell no.
Have you? I've been into a palace before. Right.
Which one were at?
Because
I know you've been in everywhere.
Right. One in Dubai and one in...
I knew it was going to be Dubai.
Saddam's palace too. And his was already run down by then. It was already blown up and it was still nice.
Damn.
Right? But you walk into a palace and you're like, damn. Right?
Yeah.
Chandeliers, marble floors, right?
Wait, I walked into Caesar Palace in Vegas. Does that count?
It counts, bro. It says it on the title, right? Caesar Palace.
I'm just kidding.
But it's still nice, though, right?
It is.
But the point I'm making is that nobody walks into a palace and they're like disgusted. Ugh, who lives here?
Right.
Who would think about living here? Listen, our women in these last days, I hate to say it, but you're built like tool sheds and barn houses, okay? Y'all will be built like palaces. All right, that's the promise the Lord gave to y'all if you endure into the end, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So just be in subjection to what the Bible says. Be pillars of rest to the men, and let's get this mission accomplished. Give me 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35. Palaces, right? No more tool sheds, bro. We are sick of the tool sheds.
Right. She said the she shed.
All right. No more built like she sheds.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction.
That's the point I wanted in this verse, was that last part. It says, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Because the same things that distract me are not the same things that distract you, and vice versa.
Right.
But the Apostle Paul is letting us know that there's something that distracts each and every single one of us as we take this walk with Christ. That's why he told us in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, you must examine yourself whether you be in the faith. What is it that's distracting you from serving the Lord wholeheartedly?
Mm.
What is it that's distracting you from enduring to the end, that way you may be saved?
That distraction is that lust that you were talking about earlier.
That distraction could be anything.
Mm.
And that lust has many levels. Bro, lust can manifest itself in anything.
Mm.
In tangible things. It could be money. It could be a job. It could be the lack of money or the lack of a job. Now you remove yourself and you stop enduring. Because I remember when I first came into this, give me Sirach 2, verse 1. Favorite chapter of the entire Bible. Sirach, the second chapter. It was literally the first thing I ever read in this truth.
Hmm.
I'm not even joking. I literally sat down because Officer Issachar gave me this Apocrypha, right? And I went to my parents' house after work. I was locked out of their house because I forgot my key, right? So I was like, oh, I'll wait for them to come home. So I went in the backyard. I opened up the book. And it happened to be on Sirach. And I said, the wisdom of Jesus, son of Sirach. I said, oh, that's talking about Christ. Not knowing nothing about the Bible or nothing about anything. Oh, this is pretty cool. And naturally, my eyes just went like this. And I just start reading chapter 2, verse 1 on down.
It's talking about Christ.
But when I started reading it, I was like, okay, okay, it's cool. Right? So I was like highlighting some stuff. But later on, when I started going through afflictions and tribulations and trials, it helped me because I remembered this. I was like, oh, man, I just read that. I just read that. But that's what it is, though. Why'd read this?
The book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation.
You must prepare your soul for temptation because temptations will come, temptations will go, but they're never going to go away completely. There may be times that you have in this walk that things are going good.
Right.
And that's okay. That's fine. That's fine. But there's always going to be something. And when things are going good like that, then that's when you really need to examine and say, damn, am I serving God or am I serving Satan?
Mm.
Has Satan considered me yet?
Right.
Right? But it says you have to prepare your soul for temptation because when you read in Luke 4, when you read in Matthew 4, Satan tempted Christ. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to be gone for a season. Christ understood the things that we go through in these last days because he was tempted by the same exact things. He can't be made this perfect sacrifice if he wasn't tempted by a lying spirit, a malicious spirit, a lustful spirit. He was tempted with all those things. You didn't think that when he was walking through different towns and they was cooking up pork and stuff, that thing didn't smell good? Hey, listen, to this day, bro, when like you walk into a restaurant and they cook up some unlawful food, that thing be smelling good.
Bro.
Right?
Once time, I was like, I work construction, so the roach coat comes in.
The roach coat.
Bro.
The roach coat. I'm already not eating there, but go on.
The roach coat. They were cooking up bacon, and now my nose was like, oh, my goodness, what is that? And I was like, bro, like I forgot it was bacon. I was like, oh, what is that? It smells good. I had to check myself quick. I was like, oh, snap.
Hey, listen, me being from the tribe of Levi, right, and my family being from the South, and you're from the South, too, so I grew up eating Boudin and jambalaya and gumbo and all those things, bro. Like that, not there. Maybe the chicken's lawful and like the rice. That's pretty much it, right? Like everything else is just
Damn, bro. Is this
all defiled seafood and pork and everything else.
Yeah,
but it was delicious, bro. That's what we ate. There's times to this day. This is my ninth year in this truth. There's times today, I'll see a picture. I'm like, damn, that looks good. Then I have to catch myself. Damn, that's the devil.
Yeah.
Right. But when you come into this walk, whatever lust that you had that you dealt with before, Satan's not going to come and do this. Who is it? Satan.
I ain't ready.
Get the fence behind me, Satan, right? He ain't going to come like that and announce himself so openly and freely. It says that he even went to Eve as an angel of light, right? So he's going to come in this subtle way.
Right.
Oh, man. You know, he's going to play on your things, right? Basically, Satan's going to slide into your DMs, right? He's going to slide into your DMs. Hey.
Shalom, sister.
Shalom. Shalom. What's going on?
Shalom, brother.
Right. But you got to prepare yourself for those temptations because Christ said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. So that in itself, when I think about that, bro, that thing is heavy, bro.
That's a scary thing, man. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, but that's also like, damn.
Bro, it's heavy because he's like, you know, listen. At all the effed up things you did before, I still saw enough within you to say, you know what? I want you to serve in my army. Or I want you, sister, to come serve me and be part of this pillar and the support system for these men.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
But in order to be adequate and fit for the master's use, you got to be able to prepare yourself for temptation. Read on verse 2.
Verse 2. Set thy heart aright and constantly endure.
What's that word?
Constantly. Endure.
Constantly endure. It doesn't say sometimes endure and at times endure or endure a little bit or constantly give some effort.
Right.
Constantly endure. Listen, there's a big difference between falling down and lying down.
Damn, that's true.
Right? Because people will use the scripture it's in Proverbs, right, where they say adjust man falls seven times.
Right.
They'll use that as the excuse to say, oh, well, adjust man, brother.
Adjust man falls seven times. Pray for me.
Hey, listen. If you fall to something then Lord's will, he has mercy upon you to allow you to overcome that
right.
and get better, right? He's a just God. He's just to forgive you. It's not to say, because there's been times when I've fallen, right?
Right.
And I keep it in my prayers, put it in my spirit to take on cheerfully what you do to me because of my sin, because I know I'm still going to be punished.
Mm.
It may not be the next day. It might not be the next year. But at some point in time, I'm going to be punished on that. And when I go through tribulations, that's the first thing I think of is when I was overcome by some sin.
Mm.
And I say, damn, you know what? This is just. Now, it's not easy when you're going through it, right?
Right.
To say, oh, all praises. This is that one time I fell. Hey, just man, all praises the Lord. It's difficult when you're going through it, bro. It's not easy. But when you have to constantly examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, that's what it is. Now, when you lie down, that's when you know that, hey, listen, I'm about to do something effed up according to the Bible, and you do it anyways.
Right.
That's lying down. That's crucifying Christ afresh. That's you having the nails in your hand, and you're nailing Christ to the cross. He said, you know what? Watching this porno and getting this nut off is way more important than Christ giving his life for me. And sorry to be so lewd, right?
Right.
But that's the example I'm giving. Because afterward, people were like, they feel disgusted, right? They're cleaning themselves off, and then they face the east. Bro, stop. Bro, stop.
It's that dirty hand. Stop, bro.
You crucified Christ afresh while that thing is still fresh upon you. All right? Stop. All right? But you have to constantly endure. Read.
And make not haste in time of trouble.
And make not haste in time of trouble, because the trouble is going to come. It's going to come from your family.
Mm.
It's going to come from your friends. Listen,
from your job, all this.
I repented in the beginning. Well, hold on, let me say this. I began repenting in January of 2012. Right? And to this day, when I happen to randomly run into people, I still hear the question from people to this day. Was it the war? And I'm like, what? Like
that? What? That you started repenting?
Like, because they think I'm crazy. They think I snapped. And I'm like, I was already home for like almost 3 years. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I just had family that just told me recently, like weeks ago, yeah, see, you know what? Because of the whole military thing, that's why you're like this, huh? And I'm like, no, it was actually the furthest thing from that.
Mm.
It was someone simply saying, hey, what's your nationality? Mm-hmm. That's all it was. I wasn't looking for nothing. I thought I was good. I thought I was shopping for a pair of shoes. And then I walked out learning that Christ was black, and then my whole life was changed.
That's crazy.
I was like, damn. I said, okay. So then he gave me this book, and then I started reading this.
Oh, so Issachar was passing out of pocket for us left and right, or?
No, he gave it to me because I showed some interest.
Okay.
Everyone was like, this guy's weird.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's cool. But no, because he didn't give it to me like the first day.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like a...
He said, your name's like, here, take
it. No, it wasn't like that. It was after numerous times asking him questions. But he would always come back. He would always go, hold on, and come back with his Bible. And I was like, oh, there was something to that. You know, I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So then after like a few times of talking and everything else, he said, here you go.
Take it.
And I was like, what is this? And he told me. I was like, all right, cool, whatever. You know, like, I'll skim through it. Or something like that. I said, okay, cool, I'll take a look at it, whatever.
Yeah.
Not knowing that now you look at it, right?
It's all precepted and highlighted. And
marked up like a subway in Harlem, you know? But that's the first thing I read. But it says, to not make haste when you're in time of trouble, right? When your family's calling you weird and you're in a cult. Listen, if you've been in this truth for any of... Have you been told that you've been in a cult or you're weird or anything like that? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, absolutely, recently. He's like, actually, I just got a text right now that says, hey, you're in a cult. Someone just told me today that I was in a cult.
Damn.
And I was like, all praises. I said, yes, Lord. I was like, yes, what's up? I love it. I love the hate, bro. I love the hate. Christ said, listen, if they hate you, know they hate me first.
Damn.
So how much the more can I not glorify in the Lord when he gives me examples that things like this will happen against me?
Mm.
It's not for us to put our tails between our legs and run from it. It's for our faith to be built. That's why he gave us these things. No longer does he come as a burning bush. No longer does he come manifested in different ways to talk to us face to face. We ain't Moses.
Mm.
But he comes through this, his word, his prophecy.
Right.
He started getting that persecution from so-called friends and so-called family, right? Because there was many times I remember distinctly, bro, I was with somebody when I first came to the truth. And she hated the fact that I was learning like the Bible. It was weird. To where I was like, why are you so opposed to me learning the Bible? And she was like, oh, you're just so different now.
Damn.
Right? I'm just like, okay, whatever. And I remember I told her, I said, well, maybe we can come to like a compromise. You know, have some kind of compromise. That's what I told her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget it. Went home that night. I can't remember who was teaching class online. But the scripture in Jeremiah 2:33 came up about not trimming your waist to seek love.
Right.
And I remember I felt this big, bro. I felt so ashamed that I even uttered the words, hey, let's compromise when it comes to God. And I was like, nope. Next day I went to work and they were like, they literally came to me with a razor and were like, shave. Nope, I ain't shaving. I got fired right there on the spot. Now, going back, I would use wisdom, you know, but at the time I didn't care, bro. I was like, shh. I'm like, shh. It is what it is, Bob.
I'm following Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I love you, God.
But I didn't make haste in the time of trouble, though, because I read this.
Mm.
I lost friends, I lost family, I lost a job, right? But I won't say like Job, things were added unto me, because
right.
I'm never on Job's level.
Oh, no.
I would never say that.
I think that's...
But I have an apartment now, you know, I have a car.
Oh, praise.
I have cats.
You do have a cat, but... Cap, something big that in here, like you were talking about in how we had everything freely in Egypt. Guess what? Going to be difficult. Even for me, sometimes I think about, like, damn, losing the job where like I'm well established or something like that, and then you start losing cars or houses, and then that's when the Lord's going to be like, well, are you with me or no? Like,
you know what? That's why this is so heavy, because when I start going through things, it made me really think, like, okay, listen. In the very beginning, actually, you know what? Hold this real quick. It's 2 Ezra 9 and verse 16. I will start with that.
The wisdom of Jesus. Oh, let's talk about Christ.
2 Ezra 9. Start at verse 18.
Verse 18?
Mm-hmm.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 9, verse 18. And now when I prepare the world, which was not yet made, even for them to dwell in that now live, no man spake against me.
It says when he prepared the world, all right, for them, meaning the Israelites. Because when you read in 2 Ezra, it tells you that the world was made for our sakes. There wouldn't be no such thing as a moon or a sun and stars. There wouldn't be a such thing as oceans and mountains and rivers and lakes and valleys if it wasn't for the blacks, Hispanics, and Native American Indians, falsely so-called, who are the 12 tribes of Israel today in these last days. These things are here today. We can see these things. We can touch water bottles and see these things because God intended to make these things for us.
Mm.
Not water bottles, obviously, but
right.
Water in
water,
general.
Right?
So it says that no man spake against me. Read.
For then everyone obeyed. But now the manner of them which are created in this world that is made are corrupted by a perpetual seed.
So it says that no one spake against us, right? So we were here in the very beginning. We were all given this portion by the Lord. He said, listen, you'll be the sons of man, you'll be the sons of God, and you'll be the wicked. And said, no one spake against them. So when people say, oh, well, how can you be okay the fact that these people are going to be destroyed? Because they didn't speak against them, so why the hell should I?
Mm.
It's just my allotment to glorify God and saying, listen, all praise that I'm not a part of that.
Right.
And let me just seek on my own salvation with fear and trembling. Right. So, to the point that, like, you're making, say it again.
Jobs and mm-hmm. how when we start losing our jobs that we're well-established in and we start losing cars and houses. Don't get me wrong. When I think about that, and I'm going to be like, damn. But then the Lord's going to say, hey, are you with me or what's going on?
Exactly. Like, so, now, going back to this point that I was making, when you start to lose things, he created you from the beginning to serve him. That was your ultimate purpose, was to serve him in sincerity and truth, wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
So because of your iniquity, he pulled you away from those things. He was stripped from your heritage. And now you became Mexican, African-American, Haitian, Jamaican, whatever the case may be, right? Christian, Bloods, Crips, all these things. Foolishness, right? But now when you come back to serve him, he needs to test you and say, okay, listen. So now you are beginning to bethink yourself.
Right.
But now let me test you and see if you're really about serving me now.
Right.
So now let me take away that nice sports car that you have. Let me take away that nice apartment that you may have. Let me take away that wife, or let me take away your mother, whatever the case may be.
Right.
That one go-to person that you always can go to and confide in. Hey, bro, I'm going through it, man. Let's go have a beer together.
Right.
Now he's the one that's on the first in line to say, oh, this guy's weird. He's in the cult.
Yeah.
You're like ride or die. You know, like, damn, like really? All people, you?
Right.
That's because the Lord's like, nah, man, listen, I want you to come to me first for all things. And now when you read in Matthew, when it tells you that you'll receive 100-fold, right, of mothers and brothers and sisters and houses and lands, right? The same account, the same parable was being told in Mark, right? The same exact thing, because you know how the gospel would just be like three of us going out to go eat, right?
Right.
And then you're told, hey, sit down and write what you did. He may write it differently from you and vice versa.
Right.
Right. But it's all going to be kind of the same.
Right.
Matthew puts it one way, and Mark kind of expounds a little bit, and he tells you that you receive those things beginning in this life.
Right. I like that one. Yeah.
So we start to get those 100-fold brothers and sisters.
Yep.
And mothers and fathers. And that's what you see here amongst the body.
Right.
And it was difficult when I first came in, because it was, I mean, this was IUIC Phoenix right here.
Right.
That was it. Now I come into the school and there's, you know, 100 and something people. It's a different type of spirit, but now I understand it. Like, that scripture speaks volumes to me now, right? That's a small part of enduring to the end. I haven't endured to the end yet, obviously.
Right.
Because we're still here.
Right.
But that's a small part of it. Go back to Sirach 2 and read verse 4 now.
Book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 4. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully.
And that's what's difficult, right?
It is, yeah.
To take it cheerfully. But that's why we start to receive those 100-fold brothers and sisters. They could be our brother and sister's keeper and say, hey, listen, bro, listen. You're not rolling in the spirit. There's no scripture that I've been given in counsel that I don't already know. But the reassurance of it in that moment made a world of difference, because I may know it, but I'm obviously not applying it the way that I should be.
Mm.
And me not applying it the way that I should be could be the difference between me falling off or continuing to endure and striving into the end. But that's why we have each other to say, hey, listen. But listen.
But you know the scripture.
You ain't in the spirit, bro.
Right.
You know, this scripture says this. There's like many times we'll have conversations and we're just constantly quoting scriptures. Hey, bro, listen. You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says endure or examine, things like that. Right? But read on.
Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate.
Read on.
For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity.
It says gold is tried in the fire to get out all those impurities, all those imperfections, all those things that are not meant to be part of that natural resource, all the things that are not meant to be a part of our temple, all the sin and everything else that we've learned in this captivity. It says we have to be purged from those things. And those things come with being changed to a lower state, going through tribulations, going through trials, going through all those things to purge those things out. Because how can you get rid of certain things if it wasn't for the law coming in and now disciplining you and putting you in that box?
Right.
That's why our people as a whole hate this truth.
Right.
Because why would you want to be put into a box and you're being told what you can't do versus having this broad way and saying do whatever you want and just say, I believe on Jesus.
And that box is like see-through, so you see everybody else, and you're like, oh, snap. Look at him. Look at her.
That's exactly what it is. Hold on. There's a scripture.
You know what I mean?
They even says that. Talk, Lava. I got it.
Yeah.
Sirach 9 and verse 11. Sirach 9, verse 11.
The book of Sirach, chapter 9, verse 11. Envy not the glory of a sinner, for thou knowest not what shall be his end.
It says, envy not the glory of the sinner. Like you said, it's that clear box.
Yeah.
Right? You can see all the fun that everyone's having, right? You're like that kid that's grounded, that can't go out on the 4th of July, and you look outside, you see everyone popping fireworks and everything else, and you're like, oh, right. Woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like, because that carnal man seeps into you. But over a supposition of time, I'm not going to say it gets easy in general. It becomes easier, obviously, because you understand that this world is nothing but dung and only will last. Listen, every kingdom has an expiration date.
Right.
So why people think this kingdom doesn't is beyond me, right? This place really is already spoiled milk, right? It's kind of like when you buy the milk and it says sell by, it doesn't mean that it's bad by that date.
Right.
But they want it out the store by that date. That date's already passed.
Mm-hmm.
This place is just slowly waiting to spoil now. And that's what you see. That's why they're pushing all these things, pedophilia and right. trans and this and that.
What's it called? The
age of decadence.
That.
No, this is definitely the age of decadence.
Yeah, we already been in the middle of the age of decadence.
That's why when he said, from thence will I bring thee down. Ever since this man went to the moon and said the eagle was landed, it's been the age of decadence since then. Envy not the glory of the sinner, for thou knowest not what his end shall be, or what shall be his end. But we know what his end is going to be.
Right.
It's death. The wages of sin is death. Read verse 12.
Verse 12. Delight not in the thing that the ungodly have pleasure in.
It says, don't delight in those things, because the ungodly have pleasure in things like birthdays and Christmas and Thanksgiving. Listen, all these Black Lives Matter movements, right, going on, I bet you every single last one of them will be sitting behind a Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting behind a Christmas tree unwrapping gifts. Every single last one of them. If black lives truly matter, then you would pull yourself away from those things of the world that have nothing to do with our people and quit using ignorant excuses and say, it's for the children, it's for the kids.
Right.
It's all idolatry and sin, but it says to not have pleasure in those things. Read.
But remember that they shall not go unpunished unto their grave.
There it is. But remember, listen,
damn.
The Lord, he's going to get you. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be this entire life that you're living in vain. You may live a full 90, 100 years old, right? You achieve the pinnacle of perfection of what this life has deemed to be perfection, right? You got the nice house, the nice cars, and you know, the kids and everything else, the great career, which is also something that we should all esteem to have.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. The scripture says, build ye houses.
Right.
I'm never going to look at a brother that buys a house and says, ugh. Yeah, okay.
He said, you ain't serving the Lord, brother.
Yeah. Hey, brother, righteous over much?
Right.
You bought a house? No, I'm renting.
Right.
Right?
This is not my rest.
Listen, if you can do those things, all praises, do those things. But the Lord is letting us know here that the people that do those things in vanity and in vaingloriousness and opposed to actually serving God, it says that they're not going to go unpunished.
Mm.
And just think about that, really. Let's say you got one of our people, right?
Yeah.
A Jake. Let's say he makes $80,000 a year, which is not pennies. You know, that's decent living. You know what I'm saying? I'd be real cool with $80,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, let's even bump it up. Let's say he makes $100,000 a year, right? He makes six figures.
Mm-hmm.
Got the nice car, got the nice house, right? Got the pool, the Traeger in the back, you know, in the backyard.
I don't know what a Traeger is.
Wood pellet grill, temperature controlled.
Mm.
That's what that is.
No, okay.
Okay.
That's what you're saying.
Now,
what you're cooking now.
So now, he has these things, and I'm good, right? He has an in-home theater. He has a gym in the garage. He's good, right? The scripture says that eyes have not seen and ears have not wait. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that the Lord has prepared for us.
Mm.
Like, that's your kingdom? $100,000 a year? Paying taxes to your oppressor?
Having to wake up every Monday through Friday.
And that's the best that you can do in this entire life?
And you gotta be on time, because if you ain't on time, guess what? You can lose it, and you got to say, yes, I'm asked.
That's what I'm saying, and that's the pinnacle of perfection for you?
Mm-mm-mm.
That was your kingdom?
Right.
To have to kiss the white man's behind Monday through Friday? Mm-mm. No way, bro. Nope. It says that they will not go unpunished, all right? It says, have no delight in those things. Give me Mark 4 and verse 15. Like 4 minutes. Mark 4. Let me see. I think I'm going to jump up real quick. Mark 4 and verse. You know what? Start at verse 18.
The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 18.
Now, Mark 4, Christ is given a parable for the four types of Israelites. All right. We started with the scripture where it says, blessed is he that endures until the end. We went into different things about how it could be your job, your spouse, your unbelieving family, your unbelieving friends. It could be the lust that you deal with internally that will cause you to not endure until the end, right? But now Christ is going to give us this parable of the four types of Israelites. We're going to jump to the third one. Read that.
Mark 4, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word.
So now this is that third type of Israelites. Read.
And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and lust and of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
So this is that brother or that sister that comes into the truth, right? They heard the word. It was sown. It sprouted up into something. They saw the light. Oh, my goodness. This is the truth.
Yep.
Christ is black. Slave ships. I see those things. This is great. But it says, but the cares of the world, of this world, not the cares of the world, but the cares of this world. Christ is letting you know that there's going to be things that are amongst this captivity that's going to choke the word and make you become unfruitful. For some people, it could be something as simple as being told, hey, you're in a cult, and you can't overcome that spirit of being ridiculed. You have low self-esteem now. No, I don't want to be that.
Right.
Let me, you know, it just sounded good. Whatever. Bro, they call this truth a revolving door for a reason. I've seen many have come. I've seen way many more come and go than people that have come and stayed.
Mm.
And when I say way more, like I think I was telling you before, if we had everybody that had come here to IUYC Phoenix that has either contacted us via call or email or showed up once, or twice, or even sometimes, bro, we'd have like thousands of people
right.
within IUIC Phoenix. Like, no joke.
Right.
Like, we'd be in like a full-on TD Jakes type building, right?
Right. He said, hey.
But many come and many go because it says the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And it says, and the lust of other things. Because, mm-hmm. again, you're not disciplined enough to be put in that box. Christ made it very clear through the Spirit when the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, he said, listen, you become a prisoner to Christ. A prisoner's not able to just, but, hey, guard, hey, come and take these off.
Great. Hey, guard, it's lunchtime. Let me,
Get some salt packets. like a prisoner is being moved and directed and being told what to do at all times of the day because they're a prisoner. That's what it's meant to be like. It's not this liberty to get abroad and have this freedom to do what you want. That's not how it is. Paul lets us know, listen, you're a prisoner to Christ.
Mm.
But then he also goes on in the book of Timothy to say, listen, but you have to be a good soldier and endure hardness because it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Bro, I've probably had more difficult days than I've had good days in this truth. And it's not to say that I don't glorify God every day, because I do. But in my carnal mind, when the spirit and the flesh are lusting against each other and they're fighting, my carnal mind repented at 25. I'm now turning 34. So I had 25 years of carnal programming that I have to overcome.
Yeah.
So it's much easier for me to fall into those things than it is for me to be like, okay, overcome by this. But that's why this comes in.
I'm gonna say something, Cap. Yeah, before the radio show, I took a nap and it was struggling to get up, bro. I was like, ugh. Hey, the scripture says confess your faults one to another. I was having a hard time waking. I was like, ugh.
No, right. And then when I say that I have more bad days, it's because I let the carnal mindset seep into me a lot. Like today, for instance, I to my wife, she texted me, "Hey, how's your day going?" "Oh, it's terrible." "But why is it terrible?" Because I was able to wake up. I was given mercy by the Lord to wake up,
right,
face the east, and pray and say, "Hey, thank you for the mercy that you showed me."
Yeah.
Go labor for the cheap things in life. It's terrible because of that. It's terrible because I'm laboring for the cheap things that I was told that I have to do now because of my iniquity. But it's not terrible because of those things. But because the carnal mind comes over you constantly.
Constantly. I think even more than the spiritual mind.
But that's why it says that you have to subdue those things and endure until the end.
Right.
All right? So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it on one last scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. We'll leave it at that. And Lord's will will be on next Wednesday. All right? But be sure to tune in on Saturday morning, all right, with myself, Captain Aparium, and Captain Joshua, Lord willing, on the Power Hour. 1 Peter 2, verse 17.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king.
So that's the message that we leave you with. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Lego.
Israel is back.
We back. We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running here because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them lost.
Keeping
when
them
the
lost.
Lord returns, Babylon will fall.
Prepared
solid. We got them on lock.
Lock.
God chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack.
Dang.
Israel is back. The dragon is wrought because we're fleeing from sin and now we're bearing our cross. Come back and be perfect. Lay the sin to bed. It starts with a field. I suggest you choose red.